Hey there, Al Perhex with the Mind Force Hypnotic Influence Bootcamp, and here we are for lesson number 9. We've got some really cool stuff that I'm going to be talking about, sharing with you today as it relates to hypnotic stories. Now, many of you may not even be aware of what hypnotic stories are. Now, you'll notice in my book, Manipulation, there is a section where I go into hypnotic stories. I call it a brain twister story, and I'm going to go into a lot more detail on what that concept is about, because I really want you to grasp the concepts as far as why we're going to tell a story, per se. And this is using hypnotic stories to influence and persuade people in a very, very unique way. And I think you're gonna really enjoy this, because as we roll out into the end of this boot camp, every week is influential and important in the sense that we're adding and we're stacking pieces to the puzzle. So the last couple weeks we went into word strategies, word patterns, presuppositions, and all that fun stuff. And believe me, there's a ton of information there that you're going to need to go over and over again. Well, this week is going to be no different. I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with a lot of concepts that you're going to need to apply. So like many of the other weeks, this is not going to be something you just watch once or you listen to once and all of a sudden you're an expert storyteller, because chances are that's not going to happen. It's going to take a lot of effort. But the fact is, once you understand the concepts and start to integrate it into your hypnotic influence, I got to tell you, this is some really powerful stuff. It's a really super sneaky way to bypass someone's conscious mind and then start dropping things into the subconscious mind, which is really what hypnotic influence is all about. And normally when you tell a story, in fact, anytime you tell a story, it gets the subconscious mind involved, because a lot of times when you explain a story to somebody, no matter what it is, they start to interpret it their own way. And that's the neat thing about what we're now bringing to our own conscious minds, is how deliberate some of the things that we're doing is. But by the same token, how much it's natural, in the sense that we've always done it through our entire life. We just never put the emphasis on it or understood how it was actually working. And that's the really unique thing that we're learning here. It allows you to quote others and use what I call a quote pattern. Now, I haven't gone into a lot of great detail on the quotes pattern, or quote pattern, as it were. But I want to explain a little bit about that right here. Anytime you quote somebody, it allows you a reference point that is far greater than if you just said it for yourself. For instance, if I said to you, if you buy this product, it's going to do amazing things for you, right? I mean, if I just did that, that's okay, right? Salesman. But if I said to you, it's funny, but, Christian Slater, an actor in Hollywood, who you may know by some famous movies such as True Romance and other movies, found this product to be one of the best products he's ever used in this area. And he actually told me on the phone the other day that without this product, he wouldn't have been able to do XYZ, whatever the case might be. And again, I picked the name Christian Slater because it's not like he's the number one star in the world. But he is somebody that is a personality. And when I say that name, Christian Slater, you're automatically going back into your mind and you're thinking about who is he. And then I said, okay, True Romance and other movies and TV shows and whatnot. And then you automatically went in there. And he said that this was the best product that he's ever had for XYZ, whatever. Again, that is a way to drop a name. That's why people drop names all the time. Well, I was with... when I was with the president the other day, he just happened to mention that, now it doesn't matter which president, what could be the president of the company, president of the United States, could be the, whatever the case might be. It's, again, it's why people drop names. We want to do the same thing. And what this does is this lends credibility to you when you can quote somebody else. For instance, if you're telling a story and you say, oh, by the way, my ex-girlfriend, Joanne, used to really love the way I did this. Okay. Now, what that does is when you quote some, and that's not even a quote, that's just referring to that person, but if you said to them, she even said to me, this is fantastic how you do this particular thing. That's using a quote that she's actually saying it out of her mouth even though you don't know who she is. But what that does is it lends credibility to the person speaking, and it provides somewhat of a way for the listener to start to be attracted to whatever you're saying, because now you have a little bit of credibility in whatever you're talking about. It's very unique, very cool how this works. And it's implants suggestions and commands very easily by doing it in a story. The hardest part about the story is actually setting it up, which I'm going to go into detail about. But again, like I said, there's going to be a lot of groundwork that you have to do in order to get this to work. It's not going to be, you know, that easy. I mean, it's easy, but it takes time. It takes effort. And flight time, as I always say, let's go. It's similar to an induction when you tell a story, in that you set up what you want to have happen. Again, going back to many, many weeks ago, we talked about beginning with the end in mind. Well, the story's the same way. You're going in, and you want something to happen. It's just that it's going to be maybe a little different way to get there than with an induction. It's done in a conversational, storytelling way. Unlike an induction, where you sit somebody down and you say, hey, you know, sit down on the chair, and as you relax, I want you to take a couple deep breaths, and as you get more and more relaxed, you're going to listen to everything that I say. Right? That's kind of an induction. Whereas this is a little different. This will contain a roadway to a result that you want. It's very subconscious what we're going to be doing here in these stories. There's obviously the conscious area, and then there's the subconscious. So it's going to have two levels to it, as the conscious level and the subconscious level. But the subconscious level is designed so that we can affect change in that person, whatever it is. So why stories are so powerful? If you haven't known already, if I just say to you, tell me a story, there anyone listening to this can tell me a story. Doesn't matter. I mean, even I don't have to go into anything about a story, and you could tell me a story. Just tell me a story about your childhood. Tell me a story about what the last time you did an event that you really enjoyed. Tell me a story about a work experience that was funny, or a work experience that was hard, or a work experience that was miserable. You can tell stories all the time. We are a storytelling society. The nice thing about stories is that they can be set up many different ways. You can do jokes or stories, anecdotes, metaphors. You can set it up so that the story can sound one way and be totally meant in another way. And see, that's the key to this process, is that it allows an entranceway to the subconscious mind by using a story, by using something that people are familiar with. Who isn't familiar with telling stories? How many times do you meet up with your friend and they say to you, "Oh, you got to hear this story. It's so funny." How many people say that? Why is YouTube so popular? Because of the story you can tell. "Oh man, I saw this video on YouTube the other day. It's so funny. You've got to check it out." And the video in and of itself, a lot of the videos that you see are stories. And we live our lives on stories. We're used to stories from movies, books, video games even. You'll notice that as the video games become more interactive and they become, the graphics get better, that the video games have more storylines to them. Very rarely do you see many of the video games are, you know, it's not like you just start playing. There's a lot of times there's a storyline that goes along with it. You get engrossed into the story. Obviously books, right? Magazine articles about somebody that's climbing a mountain or doing a special thing. It could be a story from somebody else's experience, from your own experience. That's why we are so attracted to stories. I love stories. Everyone does. You know, hey, sit down. Did I tell you this story yet? I mean, how many times have you been told that from your friends? Sit down, I got to tell you this story. Now, it could be clandestine, it could be, you know, whatever the case might be, but you've heard that. You got to hear this story about what happened to XYZ. Even in religion, the way that most religious doctrines are put together are in the form of stories, in the form of parables that are meant to teach a particular lesson. And so we are totally used to stories. And so when we tell stories to somebody, they're used to it. Unlike some of the other presuppositions and other word patterns that you may be using, the story is a natural way to maneuver inside somebody's mind. It's also a natural way to get your point across by telling a story. Now, obviously, stories imply that you have the time to tell a story. In some of the other instances where we were going through some of the other patterns, you may not have the time to go into a full depth of a story, but let's get into this. This is going to be some fun stuff. Stories bypass the critical factor. Confusion results when we bypass the critical factor, and we can do that many different ways. It also morphs reality. When you tell a story, you can take somebody to a place that is not in their own reality. A story could be made up. It could be something that you're just totally, you know, fantasizing about. It could be about going into space. It could be about another time. It could be totally, you know, just something that's totally crazy. And you can get somebody thinking about it and starting to relate to it. Morphing reality is also taking them back to a time that maybe was 20, 30 years ago that they have to think about. And again, anytime somebody thinks, I've said it before, is they start to process, they start to go into trance. You can also merge several concepts into the story. Now again, you're not just telling the story for the sake of telling a story. You're building a story that is designed specifically not only to tell a story, but to provoke and invoke a response with the individual that you're talking to. I'm going to use some simple examples from life in these stories. And you can use any type of story. A vacation, you'll notice in the manipulation book, I go into a vacation story. And I will say that when I wrote manipulation, I probably wasn't the best at telling stories or even putting these together. But I'm going to encourage you to start thinking of stories and start programming your subconscious mind to start to relate to things that you can tell to people as you meet them. A story could be from your favorite film. Did you see this film, whatever it's called, and do you remember the time where they went to this and they did that, and you tell the story? I mean, film buffs, not even film buffs, but individuals that love films, they start quoting films, they start quoting the characters' films. It gets them into the story. Well, if you like that film, let me tell you a little bit about this other film. That's how you tell the story. TV show. If you've ever seen the TV show 24, it tells a great story. It's 24 hours, and it takes 24 episodes, I guess, or so, to get through that 24 hours. But again, as you're building these stories, let's not make it complex. Let's make it simple. You're going to use your own experiences. You don't necessarily have to create something new. And your experience is going to be the best thing ever. And I'm going to show you how to take TV shows, films, vacations, whatever the case might be, and construct a story that you can then use, whether it's in business, social, romance, whatever the case might be. It's just a really unique method. One thing that's really good about stories is you can place suggestions and commands inside the story, and you'll notice inside the manipulation manual, I go into some details of that. There's going to be another section, another video that I'm going to do where I'm going to show you exactly how to place the commands. But you know what? I don't even have to show you, because you already know. I've already showed you over the last several weeks how to place commands. So it's really a matter of creating a story and then integrating that story together with the particular commands and suggestions that you want to do, the outcome you desire, what you want them to do. The suggestion is a key to the process. Now, I believe there's a definite difference between a command and a suggestion. A command is something that, to me, in my mind, is a little bit more forceful. Do this now, you know, kind of a command. A suggestion is more like, well, you know, as we talk here, you might find yourself really wanting to sign the contract because you're going to realize that this is exactly what you're looking for. You see that suggestion? I was suggesting that you just might want to, you know, and I said this before in some of the other patterns. But suggestion in a story is extremely powerful because as you're setting the story up, you create suggestions. And of course, you mark the suggestions off just like you would mark a command, but the suggestion is the underlying strength. You might find that as I tell the story, that you're going to get totally excited about doing the same thing that I did when I was in California on vacation, or the same thing that I experienced when I was at the Olympics. So you're going to be so excited about using my product just like I did when I was at the NASCAR race back in 2000 and whatever. Okay, the suggestion in the story. I want you to get good at suggestion, even more so than commands, because the suggestion can be even more powerfully because it's so subtle. And that's the key to getting covert persuasion, hypnotic influence to work magnificently, is when it's subtle, not when it's, you know, beaming right at your face. But I don't think I need to tell you that as you're doing setting all this information up, is you're utilizing all the skills we've had in the past weeks. I don't need to go over that again. The story is subconscious, not conscious. Obviously, the story you're telling is a conscious story that you're telling to their conscious mind. But what they hear is not really what you mean or intend. That's why you're going to have suggestions that are going to be designed to lead them in a direction that's different than what they're hearing. So they're hearing one thing, and really what you mean is another. And that is the profound fact of what we're building here. That's what makes it so powerful and so sneaky. There's always an underlying motive in your stories. It's not just telling the story about your vacation. It's not just telling the story about the movie you saw. It's not just telling about a TV show that you saw that was very interesting about ice road truckers, or this reality show called Survivor, or whatever the case might be. There's that underlying motive. The story is for their unconscious to unravel. You see, when I talk to you, I could talk to your conscious mind, but your subconscious mind's always paying attention. And so what I'm going to do in the story is I'm going to deliberately speak to your subconscious mind and basically give you directions, give you suggestions, give you commands, allow you to step through the process and feel so much more powerful than you did before as a result of that story. Now, a story can be anything. It could be designed to empower you. It could be designed, for instance, I'm talking about the story from the standpoint that there's an underlying motive. And the initial inclination is that motive is my motive to get something from you, let's say. I want you to buy my product, or I want you to I'm going to close the sale, or I want to, you know, get the date, or, you know, that kind of thing. But see, you can also use this from a standpoint of empowering somebody so that the commands and suggestions are powerful for them as a person. So that as I'm speaking to somebody, you know, hey, as we talk here today, I think what you're going to find that by the time we get done speaking, you're going to feel so excited. You're going to feel so enthusiastic about the job you're doing. And you're going to feel so powerful in the fact that you know that you can do even better work than you're doing now. You're going to find that as I go through these concepts, you're just going to be mesmerized in the fact that you are the person that can get the job done. And again, I'm just grabbing these from the top of my head, but you can use the stories for so many different things. It's not just to command and get somebody to do your bidding. That's not the purpose. Please understand that every story leaves pictures and impressions. I'm sure if you go back in your mind right now and you think of a story, think recently of a time that a friend of yours told you a story. Even if it was about another friend. Oh, I got to tell you a story about the time that Andy and I went fishing and we caught these big fish. And if you think about that story, just take a second and think about a story real quickly. And your mind will grab it real quickly. It leaves pictures and impressions, even if you weren't there. just even what I said. You remember the story? Did I ever tell you the story about the time Andy and I went fishing and we caught these really big bluefish? We were out about 20 miles off the New Jersey coast, and the water was really calm, and we were able to catch a lot of fish. Now, that's a short story, right? But it leaves impressions. Boat, Jersey Shore, which is the ocean, 20 miles out, so that pictures, you picture somebody way out there. The fact that we're on a boat, it could have been a rowboat, but it doesn't matter. I've said a boat, on the boat, you're capturing an image of a boat in your mind of what you realize and what you think a boat should be. It could be a fishing boat, it could be a whaler, could be a sailing boat, sailing vessel, doesn't matter. Your impression of that is there. The impressions are placed as suggestions, so that as I impress upon you what I'm teaching you, it's a suggestion. It's a suggestion that stays in the mind, that even after the story has been told and we have left, you still remember it. I can still remember stories that I heard as a child. I can still remember things that let's say when I was a little boy, that you'd get together with the family and the family members would tell these stories. I can still remember stories my grandmother told me, my uncles told me, that my father told me about certain things. They're still in my head. They made that much of an impression. And again, those stories were meant to be told to tell a story. Now that we're placing suggestions, just think how much more powerful that is. Every story is remembered in some way. Oh yeah, I remember telling me that story. The reason I keep bringing these concepts up is because this is familiar ground for everyone listening to this. This is not some abstract philosophy or abstract concept that you have to think about like maybe some of the other ones were. We've all told stories. We've all heard stories. Everyone loves a good story. The story is the suggestion. How about a fighter predicting a fight? You've heard that, right? Muhammad Ali? Or really any fighter. Now think about this. If you were a fighter predicting a fight, and you were telling the story about how you're going to, you know, I'm going to take this guy down, and I'm going to start feeding him, you know, my fists, and he's going to feel the pain. You are going to feel the pain. And you're going to be squinching, you're going to be blocking, but your blocks aren't going to work. And you're just going to feel the fight fall right out of you. It's just going to be sucked right out of your body. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. And yet, that's what's going to happen. Now, I've set that up so that it infiltrates that person's mind. It's two things that happen there. One fighter hears that and gets dominated mentally because they accept that bombardment of their subconscious mind with that prediction. Whereas another fighter says, oh yeah? Okay, well let me tell you what's really going to happen, and they trump the other person. It goes back and forth. But it's a great example that those suggestions implant and work extremely well, depending upon how specific you are. Or another example is telling a woman what you will do for her. And that, you know, she's going to realize as you tell her this story about what you've done for other women, she's going to be so pleased that you're the type of guy that takes care of her every need. Or maybe it's told in a sexual way. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do for you when we get back to my place. Let me tell you a story about what happened with... Let me just tell you exactly what I'm going to do for you. You speak to her in a first person. Here's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do this next, and so on and so forth. I don't need to get graphic on all the sexual content. But that type of story, you can just go online and look up, type in, let's say, sexual stories. You can look up hypnotic stories, and you're going to find all kind of crazy stories that come up. There's all kind of bizarre stuff that's out there because people love hearing stories. It gets them connected emotionally. It gets them connected physically. It's just a bizarre thing. I mean, just type that in the computer. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Stories also create a belief factor. Testimonials are stories to sell you. Watch late night TV and see who's selling what. Doesn't matter if it's weight loss, getting in shape, real estate course. They always have testimonials. Those testimonials are designed specifically so that you can see that this person is telling the truth. And this person has credibility. That this person absolutely knows what they're talking about. That testimonial allows you to see that this is valuable. I use testimonials in my business as well. Because what they do is they allow you to hear a reference point from maybe somebody that's similar to you, or maybe even somebody that's different than you. If you're a male, if you hear a testimonial from a female, you may say, may adapt to that and say, wow, you know, women, you know, do this type of study too, or vice versa. And so these are all based around stories. Old-time fables were designed to teach a life lesson. The tortoise and the hare. I mean, I can go on and on about all the different fables that are out there, but think about it. I want you to think about these two things, or these several points here, because I want you to start thinking in terms of that and understanding the emotional content that is created by these things. I want you to watch a late-night infomercial, or it doesn't have to be late-night, it could be any time. Watch an infomercial, see how the testimonials are given, and see if it motivates you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very impressionable. When I watch these infomercials, I'm almost ready to buy everything online or on over the TV set. I'm very impressionable like that. My wife, on the other hand, is not. It just shows you the two different types of people. I believe everything. She hardly believes anything. When I saw OxyClean on TV with Billy Mays, I'm like, I'm going to get that. And the next couple days, I went out and bought it. And she was like, that stuff is not going to work. And, of course, it did work. I had some dirt on my stairs, and I cleaned it up. I mean, I'm not a big cleaner, but Billy Mays got me cleaning. I mean, talk about hypnotic influence. That's how it's done, folks. Obviously, they're doing it from a sales perspective a little differently, but it's all the same, folks. Same thing with the fables. You understand the concept because it's weaved in a fable. You can also do an intricate story that's hard to follow, that I call a twisted story or a brain twister story, that allows you to be able to create a story that's interesting, but that's hard to follow. And if you look in manipulation, you're going to see a couple examples of that. But anytime you make somebody something that's difficult to follow, it creates a trance. And then you can install a strategy or a process for them to follow. As you know, they're going to be confused. They're going to be processing in their mind, and that's where you're going to be hitting them with suggestions the entire time. So, you know, this is kind of the setup of what we want to do here, so you understand how you're doing it. Let's set up the story. Number one, you set up the outcome. Pretty simple. We've done that before. Number two, you're going to make them part of the story, have them experience it. So I'm just going to kind of go off the top of my head. So you're going to set up an outcome, and the outcome is that you want them to, let's say, go on a date with you. So the outcome is you want a phone number, you want a date, whatever the case might be. So you're going to make them part of the story. You're going to have them experience this. Hey, have you ever had a situation where you just had so much fun when you were with somebody that it was just such a great experience? I mean, let me tell you about one that I had a couple weeks ago. I went out with this girl. Her name was Debbie, and we had a wonderful time. It was just such a great experience, and you'll notice that as you listen to this, you're going to feel even better about going out with me. And that's what Debbie felt the same way. And we actually went and we played golf. Now, I don't know if you've ever played golf before, and most women are really not into it that much, but we actually went out on it. An actual golf course. I'm not talking miniature golf. I'm talking about a full-size golf course. Do you know what I'm talking? Have you ever been on a full, you know, like an 18-hole golf course? What do you know? Do you know anything about golf? And you're going into the now. As I say that, 18-hole golf course. You see, when I say we went golfing, a lot of times people in a date might think it was a putt-putt golf or something like that. But when I say it was an actual, you know, golf course. You know, everyone knows what that looks like. They've seen a golf something, and it starts to automatically get them thinking. And then you can throw in more of your little zingers. You're going to project through the suggestions what you want them to do next. The story takes the person where you want them in their mind. Now, obviously, when you set up the story, I just set one up right off the top of my head a few seconds ago. That's not how you want to do it. The story is scripted, just like you would script out any other story. If you were a writer and you're writing a movie, now obviously the stories can be shorter as long as you want them to be, but you want to write them, and you want to write them down, and you want to say, okay, my outcome, I want to go out with this person, and here's the story that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about a story about an experience that I had with regard to my car. And the car broke down, and these two beautiful girls came by, and they helped me get my car started. Whatever. I mean, you come up with the story, and you start feeding the concepts into the story. Use all the information that I've already instructed you on the weeks before, and just put it together. It's a four-step process. Use a hypnotic theme or hard-to-follow storyline. In the beginning, I don't want you to use any type of themes. I just want you to come up with some stories, something based on your work, your personal life, a book or movie, and I want you to go out and start using it and start getting individuals to listen to you. Even if let's face it, you're going to be a bad storyteller in the beginning, but this is how you want to set it up. You want to install a process in their mind. You know, just like we talked about before, as you listen to the sound of my voice, as you listen to this story, you're going to become mesmerized by exactly what happens to my brother as he meets up with all these individuals, these strange individuals that he meets in California. It instills a fascination. You're going to embed the commands and the suggestions in there. You're going to write them out. And you're going to know exactly what it is that you want as your suggestion. Anytime you've ever seen a hypnotist that works on stage, a hypnotist or a mentalist, you don't think that they're just going up there and running ad lib. They're not. They're going up there and they have a specific speech that they're going to give, a specific protocol, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the timing of everything that they're doing. Now, that's not to say that they couldn't pull it off spontaneously, because people that do presentations over and over and over again, you become spontaneous. When I was in sales and doing my sales presentations and sales pitches all the time, guess what? I could do that stuff off the top of my head. But in the beginning, you're going by note cards, notes, and you're trying to remember everything. You want to elicit states and set emotional triggers within the story, so that it gets them excited, that, you know, you're bringing all of this information together. You know, you've got this theme, you're installing this process of where you want them to go, you've got suggestions, and then you're creating emotional triggers. You're creating states, whatever you want. I mean, you could make somebody cry from a story. You could make them elated and joyous from a story. And see, you're taking all of these little bombs and you're putting them in here that are going to go off, and it just creates a very, very powerful process. You're going to phase the story. Just make something up randomly. All right, I don't want you to think about anything in the beginning. Just make something up randomly. If you're going somewhere and you want to tell a story, as you're driving up in your car, I want you to think something. Look around. You know, look in a newspaper. Look, you know, what is your hobbies? And just do it. You want to add objects of interest into that story, whatever that might be. And then you're going to weave the yarn. You're just going to start flowing with this story, no matter how stupid it may sound. In the beginning, now obviously you can't, you know, if you made something up randomly and say, hey, oh, by the way, you know, on my way over driving here, I saw a UFO. And it was really weird because it landed in the parking lot, and then all of a sudden, these little creatures came out. What was even more bizarre is that my grandmother was with them, and she's been dead for like 20 years. You know, I don't exactly know what happened, but then all of a sudden, you can't even imagine. The next thing that happened is that the President of the United States was in the same parking lot, but it's kind of weird because he was smoking a cigarette, and at the same time he had like a beer in a bag, You know, it's really weird. See, that's just kind of strange. You know, if you tell a story like that, people are going to be like, wow. Now, if you have a good comedic timing, you can get away with something like that. But if you don't, stay away from stuff like that. Like I said, if it's a joke, that's fine. But if you're not good on your feet, then stay away from that kind of thing. Now, what the story really does is it absorbs the attention of the person. When you tell a story, most of the time, you can see them getting engrossed, and you want to absorb them into the attention of the you want to absorb them into the story. Have you ever told a story and you can see that the other person is actually waiting for you to finish so that they could tell their story? Have you ever seen that? I want you to recognize that if you haven't ever recognized it before, but as you start to tell a story, people will start to wander. Their mind will wander. That means that you're not absorbing their attention. You haven't grabbed their attention. How do you grab their attention? If somebody starts to float on you, you've got to ask questions. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever experienced that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Again, questioning is great, and you can add questions into your story. And as you're telling the story to somebody, you may have to do that. If you see somebody floating, and floating is a representation of them, you know, just kind of just waiting for your story to end because, you know, you get people that, you know, you told them a good story, but now they got an even better one. Well, see, if you've got a really good story that grabs their attention, they're not even going to think about anything else because they can't, because you've got them absorbed into your story. The way you're going to do that is by bypassing the conscious thinking and grabbing their subconscious mind so that they'll pay attention to every word you're saying. You want to activate subconscious responses. Subconscious responses that you go into the situation knowing what you're looking for. I mean, in some cases, you're going to see their eyes dilate. In some cases, you're going to see them get this look on their face like they're just, you know, they're in a daze. That's how you know this stuff is working, because you're activating that subconscious response within that storyline. And, you know, it's just going to take you getting better and better at it, and telling more and more stories and adding some of the components that we've taught over the last couple weeks. It's a simple process, but it just takes work. You want to lead it to a result, whatever that result might be. The result could be closing the sale. The result could be taking the next step in a relationship, whatever the case might be. But you've got to be able to lead them down the path to where you want to go. And if you don't have that timing down, if you don't have that set up ahead of time, then the story is just a story, and it's not really going to have the power that you think it might. Let me give you some tips. You want to imagine the story as you tell it. And so therefore, you might want to imagine it before you tell it. As I've mentioned before, is the best way to get somebody else into trance is to for yourself to go into trance. And so imagine the story as you tell it. You know, get into it. Get into it as much as you want them to get into it. So if you want them to feel the excitement, then you be excited. And you do that by interjecting emotion into the story. Curiosity. You know, curiosity is one of these things that people will sit on the edge of their seat. They're curious about what's going to happen next. Excitement. You know, it's something you're telling them that is just, wow, really? That really happened? You see, there's a difference in emotion between excitement and even enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, like, wow, that's cool. Motivation, getting them motivated to do something through that story. You know, like, for instance, if you told a story about somebody that lost a lot of weight and they did it this particular way, that could be motivating to somebody. That could at the same time get them excited about listening to your diet plan or your health and fitness program. It could be relaxation. You know, where you're telling them a story that just relaxes them. I just want you to relax, man. You're going to be as relaxed as I was after I heard this story. It's crazy. You just chill out. Fascination. Fascination is causing them to just be in wonderment by what you're saying and get them to see you as that person that is of high credibility, high respect, and that person that just is delivering to them everything that they need. And I mean that from a standpoint of really from any area. when you interject emotion, like I've said in the past, is emotion will dictate policy more times than not. Most people buy out of emotion. Most people will get involved in relationships because of emotion, obviously. People do just about everything by emotion. They back it up with logic. Obviously, you have to have the logic in there. But when we're telling the story, we're adding all of these components together. These are just some tips that you can use that I know you're going to get a great deal of usage out of. Trust me on that one. I want you to start creating and collecting a great amount of stories. You know, this stories section is hypnotic stories to many of you. You're thinking about it and you're thinking, how do I create these stories? Well, I'm going to show you a couple examples, but go through manipulation and go through some of those stories to get an idea. But I want you to start thinking, you know, off the top of your head, what you can create. Personal stories. Actually, I'd like you to create stories in each segment that are on this particular screenshot. And that is, I want you to do personal stories, business stories, social stories, sexual stories. And even if you don't tell these all these stories to people, I want you to think of them in your head and start thinking of how you would explain those situations. Now, personal might not be too hard, or business, or social. But the last one, sexual, could be a little bit harder to talk about. And that's why I added it. Because I want you to think outside of the box and start to think, well, if you had to tell a sexual story, what would it be? And how good could you make it that would get people excited about it or what have you? A social story, a business story, a personal story. How would you do it? So, this is really your homework, and I'll have obviously some more information for you. But I want you to create and collect a great amount of stories. And you might even write them down. This is my story about this. This is my story I tell in that. And it's the story I do for this. And you have these stories in your reservoir once you get them down, once you have all the components put together, the suggestions and everything, and you just start to tell them. Now, I know in the beginning you're not going to be that good. You're going to be terrible probably. I was. If you're great at telling stories and adding all this stuff in first shot, God bless you. You've done a better job than I ever did. But the fact is, you're just going to have to, again, put in the flight time. And this is going to take multiple hours of you writing these concepts out and starting to put the structure together of these stories. But if you'll take these concepts and combine them with the information that I've taught you over the last number of weeks, you can create some stories that are extremely potent, that are going to allow you to really get your hypnotic influence skills to the highest level possible. I've enjoyed sharing this information with you. And of course, if you have any questions, please send them to me at mindforcesecrets@gmail.com. Thanks for watching and listening, and have a fantastic day. So long.